How you entrepreneurs, today we have Ted P. I'm not going to even try to pronounce the last name. If you're in San Diego, you know him as Rancho Ted. His marketing is all over. He is a hard money lender. There has been, I think, some negative connotations to what hard money is, but it's, as you listen to it, you'll hear it's, he helps people out that are in difficult situation, and it becomes just common sense to give them loans. Take a listen, please subscribe, and tell your friends.
Welcome to the Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
All right, so we are here with Ted P, but everyone knows him as Rancho Ted.
Right on, yes.
So you're a hard money lender. I think it's in this line of business as a hard money lender, I think there's a lot of miscommunications of what a hard money lender is. Can you give a little insight before we hear about you?
Yeah, well, you know, back in the day, and this was like in the 90s, early last decade, private money was real expensive. You know, rates were 12 to 14% and points were 6 to 8, and it was really, really expensive. As time went on, the pricing really has dropped tremendously. So most deals are 8 or 9% if you're using private money. And I'm talking through personal investors, not funds. And then the points are 2. And then if you're using a fund, you can get down in the 7s, 6s. Really, really incredible pricing.
Yeah. And the things that differentiate you as a private lender compared to a hard money lender compared to like a bank.
Yeah.
What would be the easiest way to describe it?
Sure. I'll give you a great example of a private money loan. Yeah. We can work with people from different countries, and I did a deal for a guy from Canada, no income taxes, no credit report. And basically we lent on equity. So that's what is private money. It's basically lent on
just
equity.
More on the property than the person, right?
Yeah, correct.
So how does someone get into that kind of field?
Yeah, that's a good question and very difficult.
Yeah.
You know, I got into the industry because one of my friends, turns out I met him out here and I ended up playing high school basketball against him back in Massachusetts. So that's how we met. We met out here at a happy hour, and he was actually working in the industry. So he's the one who brought me in, and that's really the only way. There's no school for this stuff. Very risky industry. If you know with lawsuits and all that, so you need to know what you're doing. So really, you need to work for somebody in the industry who's got the experience. It's the only way. There's no school.
So let's hear a little of your history, okay? So you met him at the reunion, the high school basketball player.
No, well, actually, I met him out here.
Yeah, out here again. Yeah. What happened before that? What were you doing before that?
Sure. I arrived here in 85. Didn't even visit. Just drove here.
Oh, wow.
Straight out of college, man.
You just took a gamble.
That wasn't a gamble. I think jumping out of a plane's a gamble. That's what I tell people. But no, I grew up thinking, why do people live in cold weather? And I never will understand that.
Yeah.
God bless them for doing it. So I drove out here with a couple of friends from college, landed in Mission Beach, and it was a great extension from college, man, because it was a happening place. And it was all about the weather. But my first job really was working for a company called San Diego Pasta Company. And we delivered pasta throughout the whole Southern California. And it was really a lot of fun. And Marco Lamangi was the owner. And Marco, I left in 1991 to get into real estate. Marco ended up closing that shop and started working in Little Italy. So he's one of the founding people of Little Italy.
Oh, wow.
So I work out of the Little Italy Association. That's where my office is. So I've been friends with him for 35 years, so pretty cool.
So you guys left on good terms, then, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. No, you know what? There's certain things in life. I was 23.
Yeah.
You know, so you want to – it was a lot of fun, perfect job for – at that time. Didn't really know what I wanted to do, and then stumbled across that friend of mine who got me started in the industry. That's how.
So when you were at the pasta place, how long were you there for?
5 years.
5 years.
Yeah.
And did you know you wanted something more, or were you?
Well, as time goes on, you realize you can't control your future.
Yeah.
You know, I was working for the company. I was a small owner portion, but you know, I'm kind of a dreamer. I love thinking big and doing stuff that, you know, challenging. So it was so much fun, but it was a certain point where it had run its course. Yeah.
So how long ago was it you say that you got into the private money?
91. It's actually, I did private money for a bit, and I also did conventional lending too for a while. Yeah.
And in 91, rates were pretty fairly high, right?
Yeah, they were still coming down. So people would get 9.5%.
Yeah.
And they were like psyched, you know, and then it went down to 9. It's crazy how you just watch it fall, you know, down to hit down in the threes, man.
Do you remember that mindset when it was going 9.5 to 9? Were you telling everyone, you get as low as it's been, as low as it's been?
Well, yeah, you always think that's the bottom. You know, it's not going lower than 9, and then it go lower. So really, when you do conventional lending, the goal is not to pay too much money for the loan.
Yeah.
Try to do no points, and if you can do no points, no fees.
Yeah.
Depending on the size of the loan, so you're not paying all this money each time you refi. So. And yeah, I just can't believe it kept dropping. And again, it just dropped last month.
Yeah. So when was the time that you knew that you were going to get out of the conventional aspect of it and solely focus on the direct?
Well, the conventional world, was a lot of fun in the 90s. It was enjoyable business. It was common sense lending. And then, when the market crashed, well, be honest with you, the common sense left when the state income programs came in.
Yeah.
So I'll give you two good examples of not having common sense in the conventional world. In 2006, I did a loan for somebody who was buying a condo. It was a non-owner, stated income to 100%. So all I did was sign the loan application, and he got $400,000.
Wow.
And I was like, I mean, it was going on for a while, but I just couldn't. I remember walking a little early, just going, how does this work? You know, I just couldn't comprehend it. And again, common sense, it made no sense.
Yeah.
Then the market crashed. In 2008, I was doing a loan for a lady in Rancho Santa Fe. And she had a property value of $5 million and owed $400,000, basically 10% loan to value. Hmm. Great credit score. Unfortunately, her husband had passed away. And her DTI, which is income to debt, was 53. And they wouldn't do the loan. It had to be 50.
Oh,
and I'm
God.
Thinking, my God. I could go on one after another. So then I realized that the subprime was no longer available. And I just couldn't take doing those type of loans and getting turned down. They were great loans. So that's when I decided to switch over to hard money, who were a lot of my friends who were in the industry. And so when you do private money, it's really done with common sense. You just need equity in the property. But I got an example of a deal right now. It's a great example. You know, guy's buying a house for like $3 million, putting down $1.5 million. That's a lot of money, 50%. You think he's walking? No, he's not going to walk away from that, right? But unfortunately, his mother was on a property he owned together, and she had some late payments that he didn't know about. So then his credit score dropped below 600. Now he can't get a conventional loan.
Oh, wow.
It's a great example of a guy should be able to get something, right? It was, you know, but it is what it is. So now he has to go private money, you know. So for us, it's a great loan. Should be for a conventional lender too, but hey, can't do it because of that.
So is the process different then when you're looking, taking to like the so-called underwriter or the financier? Or what kind of steps goes into it?
To doing the private money?
Yeah.
Sure. First thing is, what's the property worth? what's the loan amount? If it's a purchase, you say, can you put down 30%? And they say, yes, you got a deal. With some of these funds now, you can get away with 25 and 20%. So they're getting more aggressive with the funds. Private investors won't do that. So
does it affect the rate then too, by the more you put down?
Not necessarily. It does. Again, you're looking at, you know, individuals lending money. The more you put down, you can get a point cheaper. You know, it goes from 9 to 8.5 to 8. Most investors won't go below that. With the funds, you can go start at 8 and go down to 6.5.
Is there any, because I know in the real estate field, there's some negative connotations towards real estate agents. Is there anything that you heard about with the private money?
As far as?
Like negative connotations where they're saying that while you're charging a higher rate, not understanding of what you're doing it for?
You know what? I think back in the day, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it was big fees to borrowers, but now it's really people are in situations, and you're the only one that can save them. A bank can't. So you can step in. Obviously, if you're in foreclosure, you can get them out of foreclosure. But most of the time, there's all different reasons why people need private money. And no, not at all. I think they know it's a short-term bridge loan, and you know there's a price to pay for that, but it's not crazy expensive.
Have there been any sort of hurdles for the transition from the conventional aspect of it and solely focusing on more the private?
No, man, it's been a nice change.
Oh, it hasn't been?
Yeah, again, it's just common sense. You know, loan's good, you do it. The hardest part, I think, is finding loans as any field.
Yeah.
Whether you're a real estate agent or a mortgage broker, but just finding good loans, very difficult. It took me a while, a lot of hard work, a lot of networking, a lot of marketing. And
is that where you get majority, marketing, networking?
Yeah, well, I got fortunate. You know, it was a very strange thing to come up with the branding of Rancho Ted. Hmm. And that was very difficult in the beginning. But as time went on, I realized people were like, hey, that's pretty cool. And I thought it was stupid. It's a long story, and that's another podcast.
Can you give us the spark notes on it? How'd you come up with the name?
Well, you know, when I was a mortgage broker, I went through like 6 companies in 10 years. And after a while, it gets old getting a new business card, a new email. And all these companies went out of business. That was Countrywide when I was working with Ivan and the group there. And we went over to B of A, then I get out of the back to the thing, and then this closed. So in 2010, a friend of mine was helping me get on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, and he was saying you should brand yourself. And I said, boy, that's a brilliant idea, man, because I'm tired of it. So I was working for a company called Rancho Financial, and they own a ranch. And he said, why don't you call yourself Rancho Ted? And I thought that was stupid, you know? And for a while, I thought it was stupid, but one of my buddies was like, no, it's a good idea. And it took a while, but one day, I've always seen King Stallman bus benches. Yeah, and I thought, yeah, it's kind of like King Stallman. And then one day a guy says, you know, this is like King Stallman. I said, you know, you're right. And then I just started, which really helped. I have a friend of mine who works with Ivan, Paulie. He created the brand. And we just started doing crazy, fun marketing. So we started doing cartoons, all kinds of creative images that we put on Facebook or LinkedIn. And the branding's taken off. So my name's so difficult, like you see. People just start calling me Rancho Ted. They don't even get into my name anymore. So,
well, I think that's what happened with the email with you. And you said your full name. And I go, oh, Rancho Ted. And I was
and why would you? I mean, personally, the name's a lot of work, man. Spelling it, saying it, it's a lot of work. So I'm actually glad when people just say Rancho Ted. It's easier for everybody.
Do you have any other marketing ideas that you plan to incorporate with Rancho Ted?
Oh yeah, baby.
Can you give any spark, any kind of like?
Well, if you look, I'm about to put a new website sometime later this week or week after. But you know, the fun part about this whole thing is the marketing and branding. So I don't know how I thought about this one, but I thought of coming up with a Rancho Ted. I would call it a race car. So I'm going to use it for marketing, but I'm going to take a Dodge Charger, and I'm going to brand it with a Rancho Ted and really deck it out. And I don't really want to drive it, but I'm going to pay some kid to go driving around with the Rancho Ted vehicle. That's one of the fun things. I've looked into the pricing. It's not that expensive. And the other one is, you know, sometimes it's you want to be cost effective, but some stuff it can be fun, which is the car. But I like to do one of those banners behind a plane.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So I'm going to do, I like to see one going down 4th of July down the ocean, down the beaches.
Yeah, they don't seem that bad, especially when they were doing all the Spanos' horrible stuff up there. I was hearing the pricing, and it doesn't seem that expensive.
No, it's not that bad. I mean, I don't know how, it'll be fun. Yeah. And it's not going to break the bank. So that's a couple things we'll be doing just to have some fun with the branding. Yeah.
If you could give any advice to maybe a lender right now that's maybe in the brick and mortar and thinking about transitioning over to private lending, or maybe someone else that doesn't know what platform or an avenue to go towards, what kind of advice would you give them?
Well, I could say is you need a mentor in this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's and there's not many lenders out there, private money-wise, conventionally, dime a dozen, right? Mm. But hard money lenders, they don't really actually get out much, so they're hard to meet. I guess you could call them. That's probably the easiest way. But it's really just, you know, talking to somebody, and hopefully they give you a chance to go out and get in the industry and train you. But other than that, I don't know another way.
It's just kind of finding the right person and getting a good mentor.
Yeah, you got to work hard, man. It's a lot of work finding deals. Really hard. I couldn't believe it. Conventional lending, that was hard in the beginning too. But once you get a roll, but not private money, man. There's a lot of deals, but there's a lot of bad deals. And if you do the bad deals, you lose everybody's money, and that's it.
Yeah. So let's say someone's listening right now, and they might be in a tight spot. They need some hard money.
Yeah.
What's some of the best questions they can ask a hard money lender in the early stages of it?
Yeah, I guess, you know, what does it take to get a loan, right? And how fast can you get it done? And one of the beauties of private money or hard money is how fast we can close the deal. And what it is, it's, you know, when you work with private investors, people, all they need, and you've got professional investors that have done this so many times, they know what to look for. So a mortgage broker, all of a sudden they come back and say, hey, they're not going to do it, and you got to close, you're on Thursday, you got to close next Tuesday. All you do is take their package and give it to the investor, but if the loan to value is there and we're missing something, done. All you do is draw docs, bang, and you fund it. So literally you can close in 3 days, 3 business days. It's that quick.
And what's the shortest, like, I guess, bridge loan or something like that,
sure,
that you could do? Is there
2 weeks?
Oh, okay, so there's, oh, you can,
yeah,
do,
yeah,
very,
you
short,
you just pay it right off.
Okay,
we've done that too, where people just you know, all the pricing's different a little bit when you do a real short term. You know, you may have to give the investor some of the points or something like that to make it worthwhile for him to do it, you know, because he won't make any money off it a week, right?
Yeah.
So it helps make it worth his while.
So there becomes more of a kind of a balancing act in negotiation based off the time frame and all this so forth.
Yeah. So it's trying to make it a win-win for everybody. That's all. Borrower wins, investor wins.
Any last piece of advice you can give someone that's in the real estate field, maybe underwater, looking for a loan, anything like that you can...
An actual, in the real estate field, you know, it's really pure hard work, man. There's no answer. You know, it's hard work and having a marketing strategy. No doubt there. I mean, the Rancho Ted brand, once I discovered it was not as crazy as I thought it was, really became a great tool. So if you go around the city, I have like 10 bus benches now. I've done a few billboards, and nothing like driving by a billboard, you know, or a bus bench.
Do you keep track of who calls you from where?
Well, the bus bench is really done for branding.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not really done for the general public. They don't need my help.
Yeah.
It's people in the real estate industry, and really I've worked hard to meet a lot of people, so they kind of know who I am already.
It just reaffirms it.
Just stay in front of them, yeah. And the other one is really, you got to find, it's really networking and finding a place where there's no other realtors and no other mortgage brokers, and just becoming a help to all those people when they're in need, you know. So I used to coach soccer, and in the soccer world, I was more into coaching. I wasn't to loans, but I began to know everybody, and you know, eventually through them, I started getting business. So it was a by accident type thing, but yeah, so it worked out.
You're in that unique position where you're the only one in that field.
Yeah, I was the only soccer coach with their loans, yeah. Yeah.
So besides someone in San Diego driving around looking for a bunch bench. What's the best way of getting in contact with you?
Just Google Rancho Ted. There's only one, man.
Easy enough. Well, thank you, Rancho Ted, for being on there. Hopefully everyone listening got some great insight. Until, you know, you might think an idea is stupid, but listen to the people around you. That's why you have them around you, right?
Yeah, it's all different avenues people take. This was mine. So.
Yeah. Well, thanks again. Hopefully you guys got some great insight. And please subscribe, share, and tell your friends.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.